Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad. This is the Adweek podcast, where we talk about marketing, media, technology, pop culture, advertising. Because in the end, everything's an ad. I'm David Greiner. I'm the creative and innovation editor with Adweek. With me back again is Doug Zanger, senior editor on the creativity and agency beats. Doug, welcome back.
Good to be back.
And more importantly, no offense to Doug, so excited to have back Diana McDougall, art director for Adweek. Diana, it's been a while. So glad to have you back on the show.
It has. I think the last time I was here was on the last Super Bowl episode.
Oh, we're making it a tradition because this is Super Bowl day, Super Bowl preview day. We'll probably do another another podcast after the Super Bowl rounding up. There's going to be quite a few spots that debut during the game. We've seen some of them but can't talk about them. Some of them we haven't seen at all and probably won't see until everybody else does. So we will definitely have an episode rounding everything up after the game. But for now, we want to talk about the ones we've seen, the ones we can talk about, the ones that have been teased. And Doug's going to talk about his cover story in this week's print issue about the NFL spot that's going to be pretty epic in there, and kind of how the NFL's approach to advertising within its own Super Bowl, how that's changed in recent years, and how they've taken advantage of those kind of, I guess, house ad type spots. Let's dive on in. All right. So first off, quick plug. If you're running behind on coverage of the Super Bowl, of what's going to be in there, we've got our Super Bowl ad tracker that we run every year. Really easy way to kind of stay on top of what it's sorted by most recent news. So I recommend just kind of bookmarking that, having it handy. I'm not just plugging it because it's Adweek and because it's awesome, but I literally do check it now every day because even working here, I can't keep up with it at this point. It's just so fast and furious. But yeah, we'll go ahead and recap some of the biggest ones today as we record this. We record this on Monday. We delayed our podcast a few days because we knew that a bunch of stuff was going to break today and we could finally talk about it. So let's talk about some of those. Diana, why don't you open us up on have you seen any that you legitimately like or that you're legitimately excited about?
Full ads that I've seen already?
Yeah, or just teasers that you've seen that you're like, oh, that one could be great.
There's a teaser for Burger King, and I want to know everything about what they're doing. It's just the king arranging a microphone in front of a table, and then they have this retro logo at the end and the date of the Super Bowl. So the less information that I get, I want more. I want to know everything that they're doing.
Yeah, it's in this like interrogation room. The king is like looking thing. You know, it's very minimalist. The king, I think at one point, like puts his feet up on the table. He like drums his fingers. He sets up a can light. Maybe that's why I think of interrogation room. It's like there's just this weird minimalist vibe. That is, believe it or not, one of three ads from David Miami in this year's Super Bowl. And this happens every few years. You end up with one agency that's not necessarily gigantic, but that just has a disproportionate number of ads in the Super Bowl. This year, it's definitely David Miami. I'm going to be talking to them for an article coming out very soon, so keep an eye out for that. But it's not a huge shop, and they're going to have three national spots in this year's Super Bowl, one for Budweiser, one for Burger King, and one for Devour, the frozen food brand. That was kind of a joke about food porn. Three shots. It reminds me of the year that Barton F. Graff, again, not a very large agency. There was one year, I want to say like 2015, they did two national spots and a huge regional spot in the Super Bowl. And it's just amazing that one agency can ever put out that much content. But Burger King, they're being super cryptic about it. It's apparently not going to air until until the game itself, but that's a brand people are legitimately excited about because they're really at a peak of their we've talked about them quite a bit on the podcast, but Burger King's reputation as an advertiser has risen in the early 2000s and fallen since then and then risen again, and now they're really at this kind of creative peak, and I think a lot of folks are very excited. This is the first Super Bowl ad they've done in what, Doug, like 13 years, something like that?
It's over a decade. Yeah, it's been a while.
But you're saying Burger King hasn't been in a decade?
Yeah, in the Super Bowl.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knew, right? They're everywhere, but that's one place where they haven't been everywhere.
The one ad that I saw a teaser for that I was so excited for was Pepsi, especially knowing that they're taking over Atlanta, and Atlanta is the home of Coca-Cola. And the Pepsi Super Bowl teasers had Cardi B, Lil Jon, Steve Carell, and it debuted today. And I wasn't feeling it that much. What do y'all think?
I should first clarify, Diana, you're a fellow Southerner like myself, mm-hmm. right?
Go Vols.
Yeah, and so you know the what's funny is we were already joking when, to your point, Pepsi took over a lot of outdoor advertising space in Atlanta, which is very much Coke country. It's been their home for over like 135 years or something like that. And their ads, the outdoor ads, were things like, Pepsi in Atlanta? How refreshing. Or, look who's in town. And so literally the lead on our story about that, that I wrote up the other day was I said, like, there is nothing more, polarizing in the South than asking, is Pepsi okay? and it was just because, like, that's such a recurring joke here. Like, if you go and you ask for a Coke and the waiter or waitress says, like, is Pepsi okay? Everyone just literally, like, good God, no. So the setup for this one is that exact scenario. Waiter asks, is Pepsi okay? And then instead of doing the normal Southern human thing, which is just to look disgusted, she, like, Steve Carell turns around from the next booth over and says, well, let's go and listen to it. It's already out. Let's listen to it in all of its dialogue-driven glory. Here you go.
I'll take a Coke.
Is Pepsi okay?
Is Pepsi okay? Is Pepsi okay? Ow! Our puppy's okay. He's a shooting star, okay?
Is the laughter of a small child okay?
Are you with me? You seem confused. Let's role play. Now.
Okay, I'm Steve. I'm an actor.
No. Just order something.
You
will have a nice cold glass of the best thing you ever tasted, okay?
Okay.
I think you might be just saying it wrong. You gotta say it with pride, okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Pepsi's more than okay. It's okay!
So in case you did not catch those audio catchphrases, we've got Lil Jon saying okay, one of his three, I feel like, catchphrases. You've got what, okay, and yeah. And then Cardi B making her a little trilling noise, which I did not realize until this ad is okay.
Is okay.
Like, it's her saying,
Yeah.
It's her saying, like, do okur? Like, just never occurred to me. I just thought it was kind of a trilling noise. So that's the joke, that it's two famous people
saying and the like, word okay.
And it's like, I just. I know the point is supposed to be that it's more than okay, but I love the idea that we're just leaning into, like, yes, it's okay.
That's right.
That's the sales pitch.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Kind of like Diet Coke last year, their tagline, because I can. They're like, yeah, Diet Coke's terrible for you, but you drink it because you like it and you can.
It's physically possible to drink.
Yep. Right.
And Pepsi. Stating some facts. Pepsi's okay. If you don't have
it. I love, like, there was this joke in advertising over the last year of how many slogans, I think it was because one, and it's probably not a big company, but one tagline was going around that was like, feel the feeling.
What was that for? You're right. Right.
And everyone was making fun of it. They're like, taste the taste. Right. See
the
drink.
Right.
And there's something like when those are self-referential with it, or when you're kind of making fun of yourself, I guess it works to a certain level. But yeah, soft drink taglines have gotten so just so lame. Like I want to say, is Pepsi just rolled out a new global tagline? Pepsi's new slogan is "For the love of it." And it replaced "Live for now."
Wow, cool!
For the love of what, though?
It.
Their
argument. You know, when they rolled this out, was that it's about loving life. It's about loving what you're passionate about, and you know, loving Pepsi, I guess. But you know, for me as an old as a child of the '80s, Diet Coke still owns kind of that real estate in my mind of just for the taste of it was their slogan, you know, back in the, 80s, 90s. Anyway, these slogans have just gotten so generic if they ever weren't. But so Pepsi, I think we were talking before this that the spot just feels unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair word? Feels like it's... Mm-hmm. It's starting to go somewhere epic that you would expect of a marketer like Pepsi. Like, okay, cool. We got Steve Carell. We got Lil Jon. We got Cardi B.
There's no crescendo.
Yeah.
It's like they each have their own little part, and then the ad is over. There's no coming together, no grand finale of people saying, okay.
Yeah, and Steve Carell does his little, attempt at the Cardi B noise.
That was adorable.
Yeah, and it's just... And then it's over. And I don't know. I feel like the Amazon ad last year with Cardi B... It just kept going. You know, it was 90 seconds, which, of course, is a different ballgame there. But it just kept going, and it kept building. And you got more Cardi B, and you get, you know, it's just like, and then you get Anthony Hopkins. And like, it felt like it built to something. Mm-hmm. And this one kind of crests early, to your point. There's Pepsi. I don't mean to belabor us picking on it. It's not a bad ad. It's just we were, I think, pretty stoked. I love a good Lil Jon collab. Love Cardi B in just about anything. Just maybe hoping for a little more. Let's talk about another one. Zanger, what's another spot you've either watched or seen teased?
The Jason Bateman one, which is actually going to be launching tomorrow. Since this is Monday, I can't really say much about it, but it's actually... quite funny, and it leans very much into Jason Bateman's form of humor. So it definitely has a dryness to it, and it's a nice ad. It's one I think that people are going to respond to really well. And then what other teasers are out there? There's so many to choose from. My goodness. What were some of the other teasers that we've seen? Oh, Amazon. I am intrigued. Ooh. I am very intrigued by what Amazon is going to do with this.
Yeah. So remind us what they rolled out a teaser over the weekend mm-hmm. with Harrison Ford. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was too tied up this weekend. What's in the teaser?
So the teasers include the stars of Broad City, Harrison Ford, Forrest Whitaker, and a couple of astronauts, Mark and Scott Kelly. So the whole idea is that they're opening these padded briefcases, and there's some sort of beta test that's going on. So it's very short, clearly. It's a teaser, ergo it's short. But they open this briefcase and then they each have different reactions. And, you know, Harrison Ford looks completely put off. Forrest Whitaker is interested. The Broad City stars, there's some foul language that is cut out at the very end. But I am intrigued. I you know, this is how a teaser can work really well, where, you know, here you go. This is something that we want you to take a look at, and you should be anticipating this. Very similar to the teaser for the NFL ad, which we'll talk about a little later. But I'm looking forward to it.
Do we know if this one is Lucky Generals again, that did the 90-second that we were just talking about from Amazon last year?
Yeah, it doesn't say in here whether or not it's Lucky Generals. So I'll go ahead and be bold and assume that, yeah, probably, maybe. Possibly.
Oh, if it is, I'm even more excited to see it.
No, I think that this is, I love the idea of teasers. I think what frustrates me sometimes with Super Bowl ads, I'm not a fan of them being released early. And
really?
Oh, no, I'm not a fan of that at all, because I think it takes away from some of the anticipation. I think one of the great things about Super Bowl advertising is that anticipatory vibe to it. I think that over the years we would really look forward to these ads. And I think it takes away some of the cachet of Super Bowl advertising. I'm just not a fan of it. And you know, it really all started in, what was that, 2011 with The Force with VW, and I actually have a story about that when we talk about
so good.
Yeah, it's a great ad. There's actually an interesting backstory about it that I didn't realize until I talked to Tim Ellis, the CMO of the NFL. But I think teasers are great. I really do. And I would just hope that brands take a look at this in the future and think, you know, do we really need to get this many eyeballs in it in advance? Because I feel like it just takes something away from it. I don't know.
Yeah, I you know, it's hard to separate myself as an advertising journalist from myself as a Super Bowl watcher and just ad lover, because, you know, Diana and I live by these things coming out early enough for us to prepare them for the Super Bowl, our real-time reviews and all that. But on the other hand, yeah, like a nice surprise is fantastic. And last year, I don't know if we were surprised by anything, but certainly the public was. We were tipped off about things like the Tide ad. You know, it's a Tide
right.
ad and a few others. So we knew those things were coming. But there's always, you know, there's something generally pretty nice. And again, I'll put in a little plug that we do have real-time reviews and commentary and a bunch of other things happening on Twitter and on our social channels. We have a real-time war room of just about every Adweek staffer covering the Super Bowl in real time. So, yeah, definitely keep an eye on what we're doing and kind of join your fellow ad nerds as we dig into that on the day of the game.
And also check out our Instagram. We're going to be doing some Instagram stories live with some interactive reviews from our viewers. So I can't wait to see what everyone else thinks about the ads instead of just what we think.
Yeah, and I should – it's a good time to mention that our Instagram is just kicking ass lately. You know, thanks to Diana. Thanks to Kamiko McCoy, our social editor. You guys just doing awesome. I love it. Every time I see the Adweek pop up in my stories, I'm just like, hell yeah. Let's see some good stuff. Whereas it used to, you know, it's like there was a time when, kind of like everybody, we were just starting to figure it out. But I mean, now it's really good stuff. So congrats, Diana.
That's great to hear. It's funny when I if Kamiko posts something instead of myself, and I'll be on my personal Instagram, and I'll see something that I knew was coming on Adweeks, but I'll still like chuckle and double tap. I forgot about that. That's so good.
Well, let's talk about a few others that just broke. I want to talk about my personal favorite so far. Favorite, partly because I think it's cool, partly because I think it's really going to be polarizing, is Zoe Kravitz for... Okay, please remain silent until I...
Please continue. Please continue.
until I've expressed awful. Our official opinion on this ad.
Okay, please,
and then,
please.
Then the rabble can weigh in.
Please continue.
Okay, so this is for Michelob Ultra. As a brand, has, I believe, two ads in the Super Bowl. One for typical, I almost said vanilla. It's not vanilla Michelob Ultra, although that would be something. No, just regular vanilla Michelob Ultra. But then there's also a spot for Michelob Ultra Pure Gold, which is their organic beer. And this ad is, okay, I'll set it up and then we can listen to it again. So this is Zoe Kravitz doing ASMR because it's high time ASMR. the trend of marketers using ASMR finally makes it into the Super Bowl, where it officially will jump right over the shark and can never be used again. But I'm sure most of you are probably familiar. ASMR, of course, is just the use of soft, gentle sounds, lots of this kind of thing. That's me scratching my mic. I don't know if that's how they really do it. So, ASMR with the weird noises and whispering and all that. Will it work in the Super Bowl? Doubtful. I think this is going to be one of those ads that really gets people. Well, to the
very
to the point of the noises you two made when this came up. But let's listen to it. It's definitely a podcast-friendly ad. Let's listen to Zoe Kravitz talking, whispering, and scratching beer bottles once again.
Let's all experience something together. This place, so pure, you can feel it. This beer, so pure, you can taste it. Michelob Ultra Pure Cold.
Okay, so... I love this just because visually it's very lush. She's sitting in front of, I don't know, looks like the set of Lost. So it's probably in Hawaii, like some kind of tropical paradise. It's visually arresting. I think in the Super Bowl it's really going to stick out. I don't think people are going to get it. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess like 95% of Americans don't know what ASMR is or that it's a trend or understand why she's scratching a beer bottle.
Right.
I can say this. I have never muted an ad more quickly than I have this ASMR ad as soon as I realized that
serious?
That's what was happening. I couldn't stand it. No.
Wow. Oh, wait,
Lord.
Really?
Yeah, and then it went on for another 30 seconds of opening the bottle. And if the ASMR makes the opposite effect on me. It's creepy. Get out of my head, these HD sounds. It's too much. Turn this podcast off, too. This is too much for you, listener.
She's like, I just need to go listen to a bulldozer drive down the street back and forth. Well, I just need some noise.
Yeah, if you listen to the audio, too, there are a couple places where it's like, okay, you didn't really clean up the audio there, and it's a little clunky. And if that's the point, then good on you. Good job. But I don't know.
That's the sort of authenticity we've been demanding.
Right. Peas popping and just really muddy audio. Yeah.
My only beef with the ad, honestly, is that her opening line is really hard to understand. And I think in the atmosphere of a Super Bowl party, no one's going to catch it.
Nope.
And maybe that'll make people rewind it, but I don't think so. I think it's just going to be, she kind of leans in and really rushes the line. She jumps from one mic to another. It's a very cool, like to me, it's a cool concept. I think it's going to cut through. I just don't think anyone's going to get it. I think it's going to be one of those where everyone just sits there silently. And then at the end is like, okay,
what the hell was that?
And then it really,
I think people are going to talk over it about 15 seconds in. Is this it?
Maybe.
Okay.
And, you know, and see what ad comes after it too. It's going to be pretty funny.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, that one's going to be a talker, I think. It's going to be interesting. Let's talk about Stella Artois, speaking of. They've kind of been all over the place with their ad. I want to say, was it last year they had Matt Damon trying to sell you a chalice? Maybe that was 2 years ago.
Oh, for water, yes.
Or the water thing, yeah. I like that program a lot, yeah.
No, it's cool, but it's not a good use of Mother, their agency. They have one of the hottest agencies in the world, and then it was just kind of like Matt Damon saying, you know, support clean water. Yeah, that's cool, but just felt like it. So this year there were a few teasers which finally all came to light today. It's going to star. It's going to be very 90s throwback. We've got Carrie Bradshaw. Of Sex and City fame, the character, of course,
right.
and then the dude, from The Big Lebowski. So, you know, this is, seems like it's going to be, it's one of several 90s reference kind of ads. My beef with this kind of ad is usually just that the reference is the entire thing.
Yep.
Is this like, look, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker is Carrie Bradshaw again. And look, you know, Jeff Bridges is the dude.
And they're not drinking a White Russian in a Cosmopolitan. Oh, it's a Stella. How amazing. But I will say
that
the comedic timing is really wonderful. The way they use the score from the music from each show. And then, of course, some great pratfalls. Just easy humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's listen to the setup of that going into the Jeff Bridges scene.
Well, mate, huh?
Play Russian?
No, Gary, give me a Stella Artois.
Excuse me. Good choice.
Well, changing can do a little good. Do the bides.
So, yeah. I mean, it's... Again, I guess my criticism of this one is the same as Pepsi. It's a great setup that doesn't really go anywhere. Like, it just kind of ends with them looking at each other and being like, yep, Stella Artois. It's good. It's good beer.
Is my car ready?
Enemy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I
don't
know.
It's a Super Bowl formula. It's just your typical formulaic. It's like, let's get a premise. The premise is the 90s. Who do we get? Let's get a celebrity or two. Let's do this. And it seems very formulaic to me. I mean, it's pleasant. I enjoyed it. It's nostalgic, but it's not as sticky as it could be.
Yeah. I mean, I think the excitement is just that they're in it, right?
Yeah.
That's like 90% of it. To see, everyone wanted to see Jeff Bridges go back to this role. Jeff Bridges is one of those actors who just gets better every year, older he is. You know, I just watched, what's it called? Bad Times at the El Royale. And he's great. He's the best part of that movie. And, you know, he's just one of those, like, you would think that he would just be phoning it in by now, but I earnestly enjoy him more and more each year as he just gets, like, he's aging well into that role. You know, but so the dude at this age is honestly even more of that character. Like,
yeah.
It's like he was a younger man and an older soul, you know, or whatever in the last one. But let's talk Pringles, because I'm curious whether, did you guys watch the Pringles one?
Yep.
Last year, to me, it was like the biggest just turd. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Bill Hader, who is fine, doesn't excite me the way, I remember I got yelled at on last year's podcast. Because I like his movies. I don't sit around being like, yeah, Bill Hader, how exciting. Like, he's good. He's solid. But then the ad was just like this nonsensical set of, they were recording a movie or something, and then they're just talking about stacking Pringles off on the craft services table off to the side of the set. And that was it. That was the whole ad.
Mm.
And it just didn't go anywhere yet again, and it didn't, I don't know, felt like a waste. This year, it's a little more of an ad. It feels a little more kind of in the BBDO formula, although I don't actually know who makes this one. But it's, you know, two kind of losery dudes hanging out in an apartment, eating a bunch of Pringles, and their Alexa-type device starts engaging with them. Let's listen to that one, because actually I do like the Alexa device, but anyway, my Alexa just woke up. She was like, what are you talking about? Me,
I'm stacking cheddar, jalapeno, and sour cream and onion, the spicy nacho stack.
How many Pringles flavor stack combinations are there?
318,000. Sadly, I'll never know the joy of tasting any, for I have no hands to stack with, no mouth to taste with, no soul to feel with. I am at the mercy of a cruel and uncaring...
Cool, play Funky Town.
There's a Pringle stack for everyone, sort of.
So, I love, like I have to admit, like, I didn't want to laugh at this ad, but the whole, like, cutting her off from her just dread moment of, like, sorrowful self-reflection... And then to just make her play Funky Town, like, it worked on me. So if nothing else, Pringles has upgraded from last year, like where I just stared blankly at it. And this time I legitimately laughed at that punchline.
Yeah, I thought I think that's a category that you can have some fun with. I mean, we've seen it with Doritos over the years. I just feel like that's a product that's tailor-made for, you know, fun stuff like that. It's a little bit easier, I think, to pull something like that off. And I agree. It was cute. It was clever. I like the choice of song, though. I like that they went with Funky Town. I'd be interested to know what other songs they might have considered.
I also love that they don't address why these two dudes have like 30 cans of Pringles on their coffee table.
They're flavor stacking. That's the only thing they have
in that whole house is the Alexa-type device and a whole bunch of Pringles cans.
Well, do you remember that story going viral a few weeks ago of the woman like walking around a Walmart drinking wine out of a Pringles can?
No, send that to me.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. So it's this woman like, and it was one of those where like normally those kinds of stories are just like, oh man, look at this sad, pathetic person doing weird stuff in a Walmart. But instead, everyone was like, everyone really took her side. Like,
wait, where did this happen?
Oh, you know, I don't remember, but my favorite tweet about it was somewhere like, if Pringles doesn't want people drinking wine out of their cans, they shouldn't make them the perfect size.
Good point. I love it when memes and just small internet things take off more than maybe a Super Bowl ad, that people are probably going to remember the woman drinking wine out of a Pringles can more than they will the two dudes talking to Alexa.
That could be a brand extension. That's just, you know, that's a market opportunity right there they need to tap.
Let's call somebody.
Yeah, I feel internet folk heroes are some of my favorites, the ones where someone's arrested for doing something, and then usually their mugshot is them just like smirking because it's like whatever they're arrested for was something that no one in the world is going to be mad at them for. It's just like everyone's just like, yeah, my hero. Usually the internet is just awful, but so it's nice when a few of those. You know, the only ones I feel we still need to mention, Olay has its first Super Bowl ad ever. It stars Sarah Michelle Gellar. Who obviously between Buffy and I totally forgot until this ad that she is the opening scene of Scream 2.
Right.
You know, each Scream kind of starts with a bit of a head fake of like a big celebrity, Drew Barrymore in the first one, and then Sarah Michelle Gellar in the second one getting killed. So she's not in there long, but she is definitely the opening scene of that. She was in I Know What You Did Last Summer. So she's got big horror / spooky chops, and she is in a horror movie type ad which is an interesting gambit anyway when you've got a lot of kids watching, and you know what I mean, it's like it's always a little risky to take that kind of approach, but it's called Killer Skin, so I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess that no one gets butchered with a knife and that instead it's about face cream.
Yeah,
safe bet.
I don't know. I got to be the contrarian in this case. Maybe not. Maybe they'll really surprise us.
It's just going to be like a visceral bloodbath.
Okay. I don't have a view on this one. I'm just like it's a wait and see. I'm intrigued, but we'll see.
When we talk about like with the ads that could be, I always think back to the movie Boomerang when like there's some scene where Grace Jones is like the what do you remember this movie, Doug? You're old enough.
Oh God, vaguely. I haven't watched it in ages.
It's one of the few like really great advertising movies. But Grace Jones is this freaky, I mean, kind of real life to herself kind of character. But there's a scene where the ad execs just kind of give up and give her full creative control over the ad she's in, and it ends up with this dark nightmare ad where she's giving birth to a bottle of perfume and screaming the whole time. And I'm just like, I just want one Super Bowl ad like that where the brand just completely unleashes and just says like, just make something, we don't care anymore. So yeah, visceral bloodbath Olay ad. I'll hold out hope right down to the last second that that's where it's going.
Can't wait.
All right. Well, there are several more. Check out Adweek and our Super Bowl ad tracker. But let's take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk about our cover story about the NFL and what it's got cooking and all the many different NFL celebrities and players that are going to be in their ad this year and what Doug learned going behind the scenes. We'll be right back. All right, Doug. Tell us about what the NFL is running this year in terms of an ad.
Yeah, they're going to be debuting it on the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, rather. And Right now, we're showing a 10-second teaser of it. So the reveal will happen on Sunday. But I'll give you the short form of it. Just imagine a stuffy ballroom, a bunch of really well-dressed NFL legends and current players, and then basically a football game breaks out in the middle of this stuffy banquet. There are far too many like little bits of this thing to even talk about. I mean, this thing, it's going to be 90 seconds, and I haven't seen the rough cut yet. All I've really seen is the teaser, but being on site there, I can tell that this is going to be a very, very, very good and very funny ad. It runs the gamut of players from legends like Jim Brown all the way down to, Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a big star with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Odell Beckham Jr. There were so many players and from every era, and just being there over the 3 days, it was hard to get my head wrapped around just how big this thing. I mean, this is probably not even probably. This is definitely the most ambitious ad that the NFL has ever done, and it's likely, and I would say with a strong amount of confidence, the most ambitious ad in the Super Bowl this year. But I mean, it was just imagine the juxtaposition of stuffy ballroom. And all of a sudden, a football game breaks out.
So what did you learn about the logistics of just getting all these people on board and involved? And I mean, was it easier than they expected? Or was it an absolute, like, I mean, just aligning that many schedules had to be impossible.
Yeah. So as I understand it, and what I was told was that 72 and Sonny ended up getting, it was announced that they got the business on December 10th or December 5th rather. And then all of a sudden on December 10th, it was, all right, we're going to do this ad with over 50 NFL stars. We're going to do this in Los Angeles over 3 days. So we're just going to have to, get this. We're going to have to figure out logistically how to do this. And what was interesting was, one of the executives from the NFL, her name is Tracy Perlman. So she's been at the league for 26 years, and she's the NFL's SVP of football communications. And she said that her first call was to Michael Irvin and to Deion Sanders. And now they both work for the NFL Network. And as I understand it, and I can understand that why this is, both Irvin and Sanders are sort of in that middle, that age where they had incredibly successful careers, and they bridge the history and the history of the league, but they're also extraordinarily well respected by the younger guys. So the first part of this was just getting the buy-in. So Tracy called Michael Irvin and said, "Do you think we can pull this off?" And Michael Irvin said, "Oh yeah, I'm in." So once she had that stamp of approval, her and her team were on the phones trying to coordinate. And my hand to God, I mean, over 50 people, and within 3 days, sometimes scheduling people down to the minute. Michael Strahan had to go to the studio, so he had like 30 minutes to be there, and they were just juggling this thing. And what's interesting about this, you would think with all of this chaos that there would be an incredible amount of stress on the set. You would just think that this thing would be the most intensive thing ever. And I got there, and there was tension, but it didn't feel out of control at all. So Peter Berg is the director on it. And the way that he was running this thing and the way that 72 was running it, it felt like this really well-oiled machine. And everybody had a really good time, because David, you and I have been on sets before where it's just, everybody's just completely jammed up. There's so much tension. People are snapping at each other. There was absolutely none of that. I've never been on a set, and especially one that's this complex, and everybody was having a really good time. They had so much fun on this thing. And I think part of the reason of this too is that 72 and Sonny came in with a script, but they also looked at it as more of a platform and an idea as opposed to something, rigid. There was a direction. They had ideas about where they wanted to go with things. And it's Glenn Cole, who is the creative chair and one of the co-founders of 72 and Sunny, had mentioned that, you know, we wanted these players to be themselves. And we didn't really want the football players to act. We just wanted them to be themselves. And what was also cool is, you know, these on the field, these are natural performers in the first place. And working with actors or working with athletes can be challenging because acting is not necessarily their default. But the 50 plus that they chose all have these big personalities. They have these chops, acting chops, and it was really well done. And I was just amazed at how quickly they would get, you know, they'd get the scene set up, they would roll, and they would do multiple takes. And watching Peter Berg and the CMO, Tim Ellis, I mean, they've worked together on ads in the past when Tim was CMO at Activision Blizzard. And just watching this, it was almost a symphony. It was just boom, 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 boom. There were no big stops. There were no big, you know, resets. Everything just went incredibly smoothly. I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going into a situation that's going to be incredibly tense, but it was the polar opposite.
So let's talk some backstory here. The NFL obviously is having a moment of existential reflection, I hope, you know, that culturally they certainly have been taking fire from a lot of different angles. You've got, you know, widespread injury and a greater understanding that it goes beyond, you know, just extreme concussions that you know, a vast majority of the players coming through professional football are, you know, coming away from it with lifelong injuries. And then, of course, you've got Colin Kaepernick and the issues of kneeling during games and of expressing, players protesting police injustice. And, you know, there's so many issues that the NFL has been in the spotlight on. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that's why they're taking this kind of very funny, lighthearted, doesn't everyone love these football heroes angle? Just like last year, it was, you know, watching them dance to I've Had the Time of My Life or whatever. It was fun, but it right. feels a bit like they're kind of doing a look over there, don't look over here dance.
I mean, I could see why that might be the case, but I think there's also a very natural, you know, there's a natural reason for them to take this route because this next season will be the 100th anniversary of the league. So they were looking at this as being, you know, more about kicking off the centennial celebration. And, you know, Tim Ellis, you know, said to me that it was important to be focusing back on football. I don't think the league, clearly the league isn't, you know, ignorant of the issues. And in fact, when it came down to domestic violence, you know, they helped with a couple of PSAs back in, I think it was 2015 and 2016. So they're, you know, they're clearly not blind to the issues, but I think in light of the fact that this was 100 years, I think they looked at this as let's really focus in on this and the history of the game and really the fun of the game. And I think that that's something that Tim really wants to go back to. And again, you know, the league clearly understands its position, understands its responsibility. But you know, this didn't really seem like the right time to be addressing it in this ad.
Diana, do you think that NFL ads, I've always kind of, although I enjoy a lot of their ads, it just always feels a little funny to me that it's like during the Super Bowl that they're kind of advertising like, hey man, football, it's great. Like, you know what I mean? It's like it's a bit of preaching to the choir. What do you feel there, you know, when you see ads like this, what do you feel is the intent and does it really have any effect on you? I guess first off, I mean, are you a football fan?
I am a football fan, and oh, yeah. my Peyton is in this ad, which I'm very thrilled about, Peyton Manning. It's funny. I really like the NFL ads because it seems like they kind of have to do it, and if they're going to do it, they're going to do it well. So that's something I really appreciate about the NFL ads because it's a Super Bowl. They can't give us, you know, an okay ad. I can't remember the last mediocre Super Bowl ad that the NFL had. Of course, the Super Bowl babies. Oh, my gosh. That was adorable. And, yeah, I'm really excited for this one. Even the teaser was really well done. It made me laugh out loud. Just a 10-second teaser. So I think this one's going to be really good.
Funny story about Peyton Manning. So
go on. Tell me. How is my boy doing? How is he? Did he seem well?
Well, yeah, no, he was
did
in
he,
fine
did
form.
He mention me?
Yeah. Did he mention the Volunteers? He did not. But what was interesting is that Tracy Perlman was saying they were in a pre-production meeting and they were going through the list of people that they, you know, that they wanted in the ad, and she kept going back to, you know, we can't do this without Peyton, which makes sense because he's I would say arguably the best NFL athlete who's ever been, you know, an endorser, probably in the history of the league. I'm struggling to think of who else was better than Peyton, but he probably stands alone. But she kept going back to he needs to be in this ad. So during the pre-production meeting, she was texting him and calling him, and apparently he was in the middle of another project. And she, you know, kind of went back and forth with him a little bit. And he, you know, she said, you have to be in this. It just doesn't feel right. And sure enough, they got him to shuffle his schedule around. And again, just looking at the insane logistics of this thing, they managed to get him there for, you know, a couple hours on the first day. And yeah, you know, he's a pro. He's a pro in every sense of the word.
That's so incredible. I wish that all these guys went out and had a party after. What did they do? They're all together. It's so incredible.
Well, that's what was really cool about this. And, you know, if you're a football fan, and I am, it's really hard not to watch all of these players walk in and not become a kid again.
You must have been freaking out.
I was. I mean, I was absolutely, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was just, you know, in walks Franco Harris, who I sat down and chatted with for 10 minutes, found out that he went to high school in Southern New Jersey, where I went to high school, and our two high schools used to, you know, run track against each other. And you start learning all these, you know, all these things about, you know, about people. I got a chance to spend time with Von Miller, who was my daughter's favorite player. And we had a, you know, really nice conversation. You know, you just, this list was just stunning. You know, you're standing in front of Joe Montana talking to him, and Terry Bradshaw, and even the new players like Aaron Donald, and the, you know, just all of these amazing players today, Christian McCaffrey, you know, and what was really telling was Larry Fitzgerald, who is an absolute legend in his own right. He said that he had a chance to sit down and talk to Jim Brown, and he just became a kid again. And just to be able to be in that orbit of these legendary players, all of these really accomplished professionals who are stars in their own right, they became kids again, and it was really fun to watch.
Wow. I'm sure it's going to show in the ad too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we are running out of time, so I definitely encourage everybody to check out Doug's story about the NFL spot and its 100th anniversary coming up on adweek.com. And guy, you had a few other articles, too. You asked several football stars about their favorite Super Bowl ads, right?
Yeah, no. Everybody that I was able to run into, I said, you know, asked them what their favorite ads were, and Budweiser seemed to be the king of ads. So that was mentioned a number of times, and then I got a chance to talk to Mean Joe Green about his Hey Kid ad, which actually ran before the Super Bowl, but it got a second life running in the Super Bowl in, I want to say it was 1980 or 81, but we had a chance to sit down and chat with him a little bit. And then did have a chance to sit down with Tim Ellis to talk about a really interesting program that they are developing where they'll be working with the NFL's players to help them become more sophisticated in the way that they market themselves. And I think the key point of differentiation here is that there's media training, and then there's training to really afford athletes an opportunity to thrive with their endorsements and with, you know, building their own personal brands. But it goes into a lot of deep theory and also practice, and I think that's a really, really smart way of approaching it. And, you know, sitting down with Tim Ellis was really fascinating because he has some very strong views about where the league has been. It was very heavy, you know, very, very heavy TV. But he has a very strong vision about really making this league more digitally focused. Ninja, who is the biggest Fortnite player in the world, has a cameo on the spot. So, you know, working with influencers to help get the league a little bit more youthful. You know, getting a little more gender balance in terms of fandom is another big piece, but also diversity in general. That's something that Tim is very focused on as well. And it really, if you think about it, it's really early days because Tim ended up getting this job in August. So you start in August, find a new agency, do a Super Bowl ad, and managing to get all of this stuff done in a very short window of time. I'm really excited to see where he goes with this. And what's interesting about Tim as well is he's an ad guy. He started at Goodby. He started at Goodby Silverstein and Partners, and then he went over to Sweden, where he eventually became managing director of Forsman Bodenfors. And then he led Volvo marketing in Sweden, and then he led VW marketing in North America. And he was in that role at the time when the Force came out, that Deutsch ad. And going back to the story about why that ad was released before the Super Bowl, the brand only had a 30-second unit in the game. So here they have this really nice 60-second spot, and Tim said, "Well, we've got this beautiful ad. Let's put this thing online." So that's the main reason that the Force was put on YouTube before the Super Bowl. So that's really the first major ad that was pre-released before the game. But it was really an interesting story, and he's a fascinating guy, and I think he's going to be really great for the league.
Well, and I think you still see that logic, right? Like with brands that if they are going to have, let's say a 30, but they've recorded a 90-second version, they're more motivated to release early,
yeah,
than the ones who are going to buy the airspace to run their full ad in advance, or you know, to run it on the night of. So yeah, that's interesting. That's makes total sense. But it's interesting to hear that was literally the thinking behind it. But yeah, no, well, congratulations on great coverage, great issue this week by Doug. So definitely check that out. Pick up print edition if you got one, or check it all out on adweek.com. Diana, thank you so much. Diana McDougal, art director for Adweek. It's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Oh, we'll have you back in a year.
Okay, great. See you in a year.
Maybe sooner than that. It's always a pleasure to have you on. All right, that's it for us this week. Definitely check out adweek.com. Follow us on Twitter and everywhere else for your Super Bowl night commentary. We're going to be having a lot of fun with it, as always. It is a blast and just a lot to do. Our theme music is by Home. This episode was edited by Lane McGivney, produced by Anya Fernando, and with audio production by Josh Rios. Thank you to Lane, Anya, and Josh for all their work on the show. Please take a moment, if you haven't already, to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Those reviews mean a lot to us personally, and they help new listeners discover the show. I'm David Greiner with Adweek, and we will be back after the Super Bowl. We'll let you know how we feel about everything once it's actually up. We'll talk to you then.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.